Want to remind you, too, if you're an unhappy timeshare owner, you went on a vacation, you're having the time of your life, somebody says you can duplicate this every year for the rest of your life, and then you never end up going back. And then you realize, there are other nice places I could go to, and I could better use that money, but every year you got to pay the maintenance fees and whatever other fees associated with it. You wish you never did it. Well, there's a way out, thanks to my friends at Lone Star Transfer, Brian and Karen. They run a family-owned business. They will make sure that your experience is a pleasant one. They will get you out of your timeshare legally, ethically, and quickly. I have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, and this is what they do. Don't let another year go by and you're paying all this money for a timeshare you're never going to use. Now, two ways to get them. Online at LoneStarTransfer.com, all right? Or give my friends a call, no obligation. Call #250 on your mobile, keyword timeshare. Just hit #250 on your mobile phone, say the keyword timeshare, or just go to LoneStarTransfer.com. All right, glad you're with us, and happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Write down our toll-free telephone number. We'd love to hear from all of you today, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. You know what's sad is how many people are now being drawn right back in because Democrats cannot accept a nine-month FBI investigation, two congressional investigations, and now a Mueller report. No evidence whatsoever of Trump-Russia collusion. Well, he didn't take a position on obstruction, did he? He laid out both sides. Yeah, but when he did so, he did say, when Attorney General Barr said, this has nothing to do with the issue of whether or not you can indict a sitting president, but he and Rod Rosenstein looked at the Mueller report, which the attorney general knew when he sent out his memo they were going to be releasing, which means why would he release something that would contradict what he knows is eventually coming out? It never would make sense. And they said it really is simple, though. Number one, you don't have an underlying crime. So what are you obstructing? Number two, most of the statements were made publicly by Trump. Okay. And number three, you can fire an FBI director for any reason or no reason, and James Comey is the one that said that. But for them so quickly, Rod Rosenstein and the Attorney General Barr to decide no obstruction because Mueller doesn't make the decision, that's their now greatest hope. But beyond the greatest hope is they're now thinking, all right, we got 6-8 new congressional investigations. You know what that means? Every single person that has been grilled, 500 people under Mueller? How many people have been brought before the House committees? How many people have been brought before the Senate committees? This has now gone on 9 months prior to the near 2 years. It was May of 2017. This all started. It's 2 years now. But it's really like, 2 years and 7 months. That's how long this has gone on. And no evidence of collusion. But the Democrats can't accept it. And their hope is that, and the great irony is the reason the attorney general has full discretion whether to release any of the Mueller report or none of the Mueller report is because after the impeachment of Bill Clinton and the whole Ken Starr issue, it was the Democrats that said, we can't go through this again and have these things released to the public. Wow. Just for political reasons, things change. But anyway, so by the middle of this month, maybe sooner, the report will be let out. And listen, I'm sure there's a sentence, three, four sentences that'll say, well, this raised eyebrows, but it doesn't. Remember, in obstruction, you have to prove intent. And that is a standard that is so high that it's probably, it will never be reached, especially when there's no underlying crime. And it's so funny that obstruction of justice now is the big key, you know, obsession of Democrats. We've got obstruction of justice and they don't ever talk about it in the media. You know, the hate, rage, Trump media mob. But we have real obstruction. As a matter of fact, I think it's the biggest slam dunk with an underlying crime in this case, that being the Espionage Act that we all know that Hillary Clinton violated. It's not even There's not an intelligent person that is making the case. The only people that made that case are, oh, the people that thought Trump should win 100 million to zero. I mean, Hillary should win 100 million to zero, and that we are all smelly Walmart voters. I can smell them. The Walmart voters. I love Walmart. I think Walmart is the best. They had a super Walmart when I lived in Athens, Alabama. And I used to go there all the time. Bought everything there. They had furniture. They had sporting equipment. They had clothes, groceries. They had it all. Everything you could ever want. One-stop shopping. And everything was cheap, relatively speaking. Same with Kmart, Target, all those stores. Costco's. I love Costco's. You know why I love Costco's? Because they give you free samples as you walk around. And it works. I remember one day I got a free sample of like a Philly cheesesteak. I'm like, where do I get those? I know it works, right? You think, well, you know, it's not going to work. I'm like, can I have another free one? I'm like, this is going to be my lunch. I'll never forget Clark Howard is a friend of ours from Atlanta on our affiliate station WSB there. And he would talk about the great lunches you can get for like $1 or $2 at Costco's, like the greatest hot dogs ever. And you get these super deals at Costco's. He even bought his wife's engagement ring at Costco's. Neil Bortz used to swear that Clark Howard would literally donate his clothing to a Goodwill store that would then go to the process and the difficulty of cleaning it before they put it on the racks, and then go in and buy it after because it was cheaper and he wouldn't have to pay for the cleaning bill. Oh, well, listen, this guy, it's pretty amazing. Now, I actually one time saw the ring that he, for his engagement. It was a massive ring. This was no small ring here. But anyway, I digress. Well, we know that James Baker, under James Comey, the number one lawyer at the FBI, the chief counsel for the FBI, was a guy by the name of James Baker. And James Baker, the underlying crime with Hillary, was the Espionage Act. What does it say? That's 18 U.S.C. 793. Gross negligence in mishandling classified documents. Intentionally mishandling classified documents. This is section FDE. And if you go to 18 U.S.C. 1924, knowingly removing classified documents with intent to retain them. Theft of government documents, 18 U.S.C. 640. I mean, Greg Jarrett has gone through this chapter and verse, all of these things. So, and then, but if you subpoenaed emails, imagine Adam, you know, the cowardly Schiff. Now, we've invited him for 3 hours on this radio show and an hour on TV. But we've also been public that we have a dossier on Adam Schiff. It's not a Russian dossier. But we do have a tape of him colluding with Russians to dig up dirt.
Donald Trump. What
would the nature of the compromise be?
Naked Donald Trump. Materials. Yes, the compromising materials.
What is the nature of the compromising materials?
Naked Trump. Naked Trump.
Have you shared this with Vladimir?
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. We shared with Vladimir.
Or, I love the collusion with Russia.
Tell Vladimir I'll have more flexibility after my election. This is my last election. Tell Vladimir I'll have more flexibility, okay? I can't tell the American people that. I have to wait till after the election to do all the things we really want to do that they wouldn't want us to do. So just tell them, hang in there. I'll have more flexibility later. Just relax. Chill.
You're such hypocrites. Anyway, so they're going to dig down deep into this. By the way, the pressure is now building for the cowardly shift to resign. I mentioned this on Friday that Fox News has the letter signed by every Republican on the committee. Republicans slamming the cowardly shift for his claims in the media that there was more than circumstantial evidence of collusion. This is why he won't come on this program, because our dossier is not Russian. Our dossier is him talking to a Russian, colluding with a Russian. That's part of it. All our dossier is Adam Schiff in his own words, lying again and again. And really, when you think about it, I know this is really off track, but at some point do they ever say, oh, Maybe we ought to find solutions that help the American people. Maybe that's a better political strategy than waking up and rage-hating Donald Trump and, you know, trying to get him out of office. I have an idea. You got a whole slate of candidates that are beginning to emerge, including creepy, crazy Uncle Joe, and we're going to get to him today, and crazy Beto, the dirt eater that he is. He had some interesting comments this week, and we'll get to that, too. We expect this week that Devin Nunes is going to release the criminal referrals, and this is going to nobody seems to understand what's about to happen. There is going to be a series of things that now happen that will prove Hannity was right. The biggest boomerang ever. And all of a sudden, those deep state actors that we have been peeling a layer a day off this onion, we're getting to the core of the onion pretty soon, I hope. But all those people that did things to undermine an election, to basically involved in a coup to prevent the election of one candidate over another and taking steps, not informing a FISA judge Hillary pays for the dirty dossier from the Foreign National with Russian lies, for example, and withholding that information. That's committing a fraud on the FISA court. Not saying that, oh, none of this is verified. How do you, it's, the thing is, if anybody claims it's verified, it's unverifiable. Why do you say that? How do you know that? Because the guy that built the dossier and wrote the dossier, he doesn't verify it. He said, I have no idea. This was just raw intelligence. And he only said it when he was under the threat of perjury. So we got the criminal referrals. Then you got, eventually, the president is going to declassify and release FISA warrants. And if Nunes and Grassley Graham, and I doubt they lied in their memos, just like the hope that they think, well, the Attorney General Barr is covering for the president. Well, he knew he was releasing the vast majority of it, except sources, methods. I disagree with the president. I think they should absolutely assert executive privilege as any other president would. And certain information. And I know they're going to protect, I guess, individuals, third parties that whose names come up in Mueller's report. And Democrats are fuming now, absolutely apoplectic, not only at Mueller. They're furious at him. Well, what did they want him to do? Lie? My big, you know, I'd love to have a beer with Robert Mueller. I would love to ask him, why? Why did you appoint these people? Why? It made no sense. You know, he's a Marine, an FBI guy. I still think he could have handled the Uranium One issue a lot better because we had William Campbell as our source. He was the FBI director. Why would you put Clinton's attorney on your staff, Peter Strzok and Page on your staff? Why didn't you reveal that? Why did it take the inspector general? Just a desire to know as we have followed this so closely. All right, we got a lot of ground to cover today. We have a big crisis on the border again emerging, and even the Department of Homeland Security Secretary under Obama, Jay Johnson, is saying, yeah, this is a real crisis. And I'll tell you why it's big. No others in the media I'm watching this weekend, they're just not getting it. And what you should prepare yourself for. The president won. They didn't override his veto. That's $9 billion that has been allocated by the Department of Defense, more than anybody had negotiated. We'll also get to the cast of characters that are the 2020 candidates for the Democrats. Crazy, creepy Uncle Joe. I mean, you look into these pictures on Drudge all day, I'm like, it's creepy. Those people that you ever meet in your life, they get in your grill. Or those people in life that, you know, are touchy-feely. This is beyond that. Creeps me out. But, you know, people have known that for years and all the crazy stuff he says.
You know how much I love MyPillow, how much it's changed my life for the better. Well, I figured it was about time that I let you know about MyPillow sheets. Now, Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. That's why he has created the new Giza Dream Bed Sheets. Now, these sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza, that's only grown in a very small region where the Sahara Desert, Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River all meet to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. These Giza sheets are available in a variety of colors. They come with Mike's 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. The first night you sleep on these sheets, it's heaven. You'll never want to sleep on anything else. Now, right now, you, my listeners, you're going to save 30% and get free shipping when you use the promo code SEAN7, S-E-A-N-7, when you go to MyPillow.com. Again, that's promo code SEAN7, S-E-A-N-7, at MyPillow.com. Got to be so careful of social media issues. Getting another report on Biden. We'll watch it. We'll get to it. We'll have it when it happens. No need to rush to judgment. The only thing is these pictures. I mean, it's one after another after another. You know, I got to tell you something. Oh, you know, 2+ years, 2 years, 7 months, Russia collusion, collusion, collusion. You know, stormy, stormy. You know, we've had multiple reports. We've covered this a number of times. People forget. You know, all these people in Congress, they use the largely unknown Congressional Accountability Act to conceal payments, your money, to, quote, victims of sexual harassment and alleged other crimes committed by legislators. The law was a well-intentioned, needed, you know, effort for Congress to blah, 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 blah. Congress makes their own rules about handling sexual complaints. You know, just like they'll burden you and your family with keep your doctor, keep your plan and pay less, but they keep their own plan. They don't want any part of that crap. Medicare for all, they'll be exempted. Guaranteed. You know, meanwhile, we'll have no choice of private insurance. So they make their own rules as it relates to sexual allegations, complaints against members and staff, and passing laws exempting it from practices that apply to other employees. Even the Washington Post covered that. And Politico even wrote that it has all the markings of a serious scandal. More than $17 million in public money, to settle workplace disputes on Capitol Hill. Now, here's my attitude. If you want to pay, just maybe you're innocent, maybe you're not, but you don't want the allegation hanging over your head, or maybe you're guilty. You go right ahead. You pay away. You want, but if you want privacy on it, you can't use our money. How's that? Now, if you did use our money, well, either pay it back or we need to know who you are. I think that's a fair deal. Linda, fair deal? Why should we pay for, you know, their allegations? I have no idea what the breaking news is. Although the Hartford Current is reporting just now that another woman says then Vice President creepy, crazy Uncle Joe Biden touched her inappropriately at a Greenwich fundraiser in 2009. When he was vice president, it wasn't sexual. He grabbed me by my head. He put his hand around my neck. He pulled me in to rub noses. Oh, oh. Rub noses with me. When he was pulling me in, I thought he was going to kiss me on the mouth, which there's a lot of that going on when you look at all these pictures and you put it all together.
Back up, you creep. Get away from me.
All right, you know what? I had banned Hillary's. I banned all of these cuts, but
oh, come on. That was so well played.
That was so
well
played.
It really was.
Didn't expect that. Very good, JC Owen.
No, but our breaking news, I mean, do you want to start it or you want me to? I mean, I know we weren't planning on doing this today, but what? I mean, in light of this weekend's news and the fact that, you know, creepy, crazy Uncle Joe might actually run for president, I mean, I think it's important. I think our audience is going to go bananas for it, quite
frankly.
All right,
then go ahead. Make the announcement.
You sure?
I'm ready.
You want me to do it?
Yeah.
All right. So a lot of people have been asking the question. I mean, he's already been called, you know, the fake chief of staff and the guy running the White House. And so we thought maybe Sean should actually take a go at this and take a stab at this and run for president. So
What year are we talking about?
We are announcing today that Sean is actually kicking around the idea. We have an exploratory commission that he may try to run for president in 2024. Following President Trump's second term.
This is not okay.
Did you guys spend all weekend concocting this to just...
We had to do something good for April Fools. Of course, your sense of humor helps so much because you're about as funny as a brick.
Well, thank you. I'm very funny in real
life. Dude, you're like the worst. You are the worst. So literally, jokes go sailing over your head.
It wasn't a joke. I mean, people would believe it and then I'd have to deal with every single...
That's the whole point of April Fools.
I got it. I did a big April Fool's joke in Atlanta.
You did not get it at all, actually.
Oh, I got it. I just wasn't interested in going there. I'm not, you can call me a lot of things in life, but stupid is not one of them.
We're funny.
You wanted me to play along with your joke. So what do we do? All right, so we create the hype. Hannity's thinking exploratory committee 2024. Oh, great. No, I'm not.
Yeah, we could have kept it going for like 20 minutes at least. You okay. Can't even keep it going. I get done talking. You just look at me. I'm like, okay, well, silence isn't good for radio.
Well, it would have been good if you told me and brought me in on the joke a little bit.
I brought
time.
You in as quickly as you needed to be brought in. You're on a need to know basis, Dahl.
Okay, there we go. Oh, you just called me. Look at Stanginator's like, what?
Stanger wanted to put the press release out to all the affiliates.
No.
Listen, Stang has been here for 25 years. If anybody knows you could do it, it's Stanger.
The one thing that I can tell you is no. That is my answer.
Paging Dr. Killjoy. Dr. Killjoy.
I'm sorry I ruined your... Stangy remembers the day that we were in Atlanta. It was an April Fool's Day. And, well, I don't know, morning alternative rock, whatever, 99X FM in Atlanta.
Right.
And we were on, as Bortz calls our old station, the ex-wife, right? And actually, the signal's gone off the air. And there's only one news talk station in Atlanta that's WSB. And thank goodness we're part of that family. Anyway, so one April Fool's morning, I went in and did the morning show. Jimmy and Leslie.
Barnes, Leslie, and Jimmy, the morning.
Yeah, X. Great guys. I mean, yeah. Are they still working? I hope.
I think Leslie is a very big wig in radio programming.
Yeah, she was programming for a long time. Yeah.
And
Jimmy was great. And Barrett, they were great people, great guys.
Jimmy's awesome. I actually got to be really good friends with him. He's a great guy.
So I go in and take over the whole show that morning. And it's like, we're not going to play this kind of music anymore, alternative, whatever.
The chastity rock. Pledge?
Yeah. I had kids call. All right, what we're going to do is, you guys are young, and as long as we have a young audience, we want you to pledge that you're not going to have sex till you get married. And people call in and make the pledge. And then others are like, what? What? They're going nuts. And then they took over my show, 9 to noon, and they took every liberal position possible to piss off my audience. And a lot of people fell for it. It did become a pretty big deal back in the day. What year was it? Do you remember?
94. Yeah.
Okay, we've been together a long time.
But, it's funny that we remember. That was a huge, story in Atlanta.
It was a big story, but we had a lot of fun. All right, but can we now transition to creepy Uncle Joe? All right, I'm looking at Drudge all day. I don't get the hands around the neck and the... I don't know. Maybe I'm the wrong person to ask here, but I am not a touchy-feely person. Like, for example, every night they have to run this wire up my back. I'm like, God, just fast, because maybe it's just me, but it's weird. I don't like.
Do you need a hug?
No, I don't need a hug. I don't. Do you get massages? I know you do, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. I don't want a massage. I don't want some stranger touching me. I don't care if it sounds weird to people. And I just, who is this person? It's weird.
Linda has been paying for them, and Joe Biden would give them to her for free, probably.
Well done, Ethan. Ooh, wow. Well done.
Well, when we give Velma our presents, we send her for a spa day.
Into all that. I don't want that.
Well, okay. What did I ask you what you wanted? Velma?
We were talking about me, and then you digressed.
We give her the treatment, mani, pedi, massage. What else is included in that? Hair?
Yeah, you're doing fine. Keep going.
Okay. So, and she loves it. I keep saying, I just thought, first of all, I can't sit still anyway. So I'm not going to sit there on a table for an hour and a half and, how's your neck? I'm like, ugh. But you like that.
I do like that.
And does it matter who the person is that touches you?
I mean, other than Uncle Joe, I think I'm good.
He is so. But last week, people got mad at me. Why do you call him creepy? I'm like, look at all the stuff with this guy.
Okay, it's just to play devil's advocate, though, for 2 seconds. Yeah. Not that I ever want to do that for this man because I don't like him. Yeah. There are some people who just. There's a lot of people who believe it's normal to walk into a room and kiss you on the mouth as a colleague. And they're usually, you know, they don't even know that they're doing something that's inappropriate. You know, or people you walk down the street and what? They go to put their arm around you. It may just possibly
slow down.
Back area.
I have had people that I don't know come up to me and grab my neck and they're like searching for the lips.
Well, that's because you made a personal connection and they feel like they know you. You're okay. The everyman.
Listen, I don't mind giving a kiss on the cheek. I prefer the L.A. air kiss thing. You know, don't mess up people's makeup. You know, but like he would go up to people and put his arms and start massaging them. That's creepy to me. Or
I think the weirder thing is definitely the hair sniffing.
Yeah.
The hair sniffing is weird. And also, we've all met those people that get in your grill. Like, they're right in your face. And I'm like, okay, I'll take a step back. And they get up closer. And you take another step. I start doing a dance. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Uncle
back
Joe
up.
Belongs on the New York City subway. That's where he belongs, with all the other creepy dudes doing creepy things.
Okay, so there really are creepy people in there. I mean, creepy.
Oh, my friend, you have
no idea.
You
remember
what
happened to that? It was a young girl that worked on my staff at TV, was on the subway. I can't even tell the story. It's so bad.
Oh, I got several of those.
Or the kiss the lips people, or the rub the shoulders people, or, you know, you see, Joe's got...
I don't mind a little shoulder rubbing. It works for me.
There's Stanger in the back. There you go. There you go. Oh,
come on, Stanger. Get in for the real thing.
All right, stop.
See, I feel good now. It feels great.
Well, you know, look, but the thing is, it's their comfort zone. He doesn't know whether or not you want that, and I think it's... For me, it creeps me out. The guy's creepy. And
it's definitely inappropriate as the vice president of the United States to do things like that.
There's an article now in the Hartford Courant about this, and it's pretty interesting because this is now number two in terms of, people that are saying. Connecticut woman now is saying, it's in the Hartford Courant, that then... Vice President Joe Biden touched her inappropriately at a Greenwich fundraiser. He grabbed me by my head. He put his hand around my neck. He pulled me to rub noses with me. Rub noses? Rub noses? What is he doing? And when pulling
we call
me
that
in,
Eskimo kisses.
I thought he was trying to or going to kiss me on the mouth. Now, this follows this 35-year-old woman who was running for lieutenant governor of Nevada. And... you know, she came out and she was very strong and felt it was really inappropriate. And, you know, when my campaign, Biden comes to help me, etc., I was grateful, flattered, just 3 days before the election. And then she goes on to say, I sprayed some dry shampoo. I was exhausted in my hair, raced off to the Reno airport, flew back to Vegas. The event took place. And then she goes on to explain what happened. Now, he's got a history of doing this. This is the Nevada Assemblywoman, Lucy Flores, who got this started. Now that all the pictures keep cropping up all over the place, now Biden is trying to stem the controversy. And, of course, you know, if it was Donald Trump, there would be one level of coverage. But now that this is now happening with many women, with lots of video and lots of tape and lots of pictures, of Biden groping wives and daughters of Obama cabinet officials and other top Democrats. They've all been circulating for years. People for years have talked about it. And I don't know at what point does it become creepy. But the double standard, I'll give you the double standard. All right, we've heard all about Joe Biden. Where is the talk about the rape allegation? Where are the I believers in the Kavanaugh case and allegations from 40 years prior that he and his great high school buddies were spiking the punch like every other weekend, and that the girls were passing out, and then the boys would line up in the hall and take their turns gang raping them. I believe that's what they said.
Not only do women like Dr. Ford, who bravely comes forward, need to be heard, but they need to be believed. They need to be believed. I just want to say to the men of this country, just shut up and step up. Do the right thing.
Let me just say right at the outset, I believe Dr. Ford, I believe the survivor here.
I believe her. I stand with her. And
do you hope
I don't
she shows
she...
up on Monday? Do you hope that she testifies?
I don't think she should be bullied into this scenario.
I believe her.
I believe Professor Ford. I think she's credible.
All right, they all believe, but then nobody's saying I believe. And the two women against the lieutenant governor of Virginia, nobody said I believe in that case. Now, some of the presidential candidates, Elizabeth Warren, they're all saying they believe, too. But they've got an emotive in this particular case. And then but it really shows the schism in the Democratic Party. And I think that you got the Democratic Socialists, which is the real Democratic Party, and they don't want Biden to win. By the way, it is it's interesting to watch that the administration, by the way, people are saying why Donald Trump shouldn't go back to Obamacare. I'm like, why not? Why not fix the broken health care system? Because all you Republicans promised it, 65 show votes that meant nothing, and then you were nowhere to be found. How about, oh, Dr. Josh Umber? Oh, health care cooperatives. Oh, $50 a month. You couple that with catastrophic care, and you got the best health insurance for next to no money. And nonstop 24-hour care whenever you want it. Flores, by the way, said his inappropriate behavior about Biden is not being taken seriously, needs to be taken seriously. By the way, did anyone ever hear of Seth Moulton? He is planning a run for the presidency. Okay, Congressman, good luck to you. Nobody knows who you are. And he supports the new Green Deal. Well, he's just like every other Democrat that's running this year then. Which, by the way, brings us to the crazy, insane Democratic Radical Socialist Party. Yeah, of course, those other candidates, National Review says Biden is done. Well, Biden has been on an apology tour about his treatment of Anita Hill. He's been on an apology tour about his position on busing and integration. We have Peter Schweitzer on. Oh, his son's flying on Air Force Two with him, and he's doing these million-dollar deals in Ukraine and China. He's got a lot of problems coming his way, not just his history of touchy-feely moments that are out there as much as it is. And these other candidates, they're not playing around. They want to absolutely get in there and get after crazy Uncle Joe, and they're gonna. I mean, now we do have an issue with the border that is really out of control. Jay Johnson, who was the Department of Homeland Security head under Obama, says, yeah, we have a real crisis. This is
when I was in office in Kirstjen Nielsen's job at her desk, I'd get to work around 6:30 in the morning, and there'd be my intelligence book sitting on my desk, the PDB, and also the apprehension numbers from the day before. And I'd look at them every morning. It'd be the first thing I'd look at, and I probably got too close to the problem. And my staff will tell you, if it was under 1,000 apprehensions the day before, that was a relatively good number. And if it was above 1,000, it was a relatively bad number, and I was going to be in a bad mood the whole day. On Tuesday, there were 4,000 apprehensions. I know that 1,000 overwhelms the system. I cannot begin to imagine what 4,000 a day looks like. So we are truly in a crisis.
Crisis. Manufactured crisis.
When I was in office in Kirstjen Nielsen's job at her desk, I'd get to work around 6:30 in the morning, and there'd be my intelligence book sitting on my desk, the PDB, and also the apprehension numbers from the day before. And I'd look at them every morning. It'd be the first thing I'd look at, and I probably got too close to the problem. And my staff will tell you, if it was under 1,000 apprehensions the day before, that was a relatively good number. And if it was above 1,000, it was a relatively bad number, and I was going to be in a bad mood the whole day. On Tuesday, there were 4,000 apprehensions. I know that 1,000 overwhelms the system. I cannot begin to imagine what 4,000 a day looks like. So we are truly in a crisis.
2 weeks ago, I briefed the media and testified in Congress that our immigration system was at the breaking point. That breaking point has arrived this week at our border. CBP is facing an unprecedented humanitarian and border security crisis all along our southwest border, and nowhere has that crisis manifested more acutely than here in El Paso. On Monday and Tuesday, CBP started the day with over 12,000 migrants in our custody. As of this morning, that number was 13,400. A high number for us is 4,000. A crisis level is 6,000. 13,000 is intended. On Monday, we saw the highest total of apprehensions and encounters in over a decade, with 4,000 migrants either apprehended or encountered at ports of entry in a single day. That was Monday. Yesterday, we broke the record again with 4,117. We are now on pace for over 100,000 apprehensions and encounters with migrants in March, with 90% of those, 90,000 people, crossing the border illegally between ports of entry. March will be the highest month since 2008.
President Trump must stop holding the American people hostage, must stop manufacturing a crisis.
This president just used the backdrop of the Oval Office to manufacture a crisis.
An intelligence official tells CNN, quote, "No one is saying this is a crisis except them."
Just another example of how the corrupt media, hate Trump media mob, and how the Democratic Party, they're so in sync that they can't even, you know, make any distinction between talking points. Their talking points are the same. Now, they had a major setback, as you just heard the first cut that we played, Obama DHS Secretary Jay Johnson, "We are in a crisis at the southern border." And then you heard the numbers, and that was Kevin McAleenan, I think is how you say his name, and he's the commissioner for Customs and Border Protection, and he says that the crisis at the border has reached a breaking point, and the media just parroting. Not true. In other words, let your own eyes deceive you. Forget that 90% of heroin comes across the border. Forget that fentanyl is a big deal. By the way, China capitulated to Trump pressure on trade, and they have banned fentanyl. Why? Because a lot of it's manufactured in China, and the Chinese realize Donald Trump means what he says. Now, one thing nobody ever brings up, why are we having this unprecedented move towards our southern border? Well, maybe the Democrats don't believe Trump, but the people that want to get into this country are kind of thinking this may be my last shot, because now we know the Democrats were not able to override the president's veto. Which means that, oh, that's another $9 billion. Oh, he's been repairing the wall, building the wall. Oh, he also has the other $1.39 billion. I don't think he's sick of winning yet. I kept saying when the president said, all right, after 35 days, Democrats won't stand up for their beloved DACA and their dreamers that they say that they love, or furloughed employees that weren't getting paid and they were whining about that. They wouldn't take 5 minutes out of their day to go meet with the president and maybe get something done for the country. So now the president has taken it a step further, as he should. You know, for all the aid that we give to Central America, why? If Guatemala and Honduras and El Salvador, if they are not going to assist us with our border issues, and we're giving them massive amounts of money, then maybe this is a wake-up call for them. They do their job, and we don't want to have bad relations with any of these countries. And, you know, you see how much money we're spending on these other countries. It's astronomical. And when you have the president's appearance when he was in El Paso in March, remember, we've never seen anything like this. And the president even threatening to close down the border. And this spring is bringing this massive surge. Now, I'll stand by what I've been saying all along. 98% of people that want to cross that border, they want what we have and probably likely take for granted in our lives. The freest, best country God has given man. You know, the land of milk and honey. You know, the land of opportunity. The land, you know, it's a great article today in one of the newspapers about, oh, baby boomers are going back to work in massive numbers. Massive. It's actually on the front page of the business section of USA Today, believe it or not. Best job market in years draws in older women. And it goes on. The women are loving it. You know, look, retirement sounds great until, you know, you're on your 500th round of golf and you've caught your 5,000 big fish. It gets old. Well, Ethan's saying, no, it doesn't get old. I don't know. I mean, it sounds great on paper, retirement. I wouldn't mind slowing down a little bit, but I don't know if I can handle the other. Anyway, what about the 4,000 homicides in 2 years by illegal immigrant criminals? The 2%. Not all immigrants. People want a better life for their kids, but they're not obeying our laws. What about the 10,000 sexual, 30,000 sexual assaults, 100,000 violent assaults? Joining us, Brandon Judd. He is the president of the National Border Patrol Council and 20-year active Border Patrol veteran. Our good friend Jessica Vaughn's back with us, director of policy studies of the Center for Immigration Studies, in order to discuss what is what Jay Johnson is calling, a real crisis at the southern border. Welcome both of you. Brandon, I mean, you just heard the description of the Commissioner for Customs and Border Protection that this has now reached a breaking point. Do you agree in part with my analysis that a lot of this might be prompted by the fact that people see Trump means what he says and he's building the wall and he's getting the money and things are progressing?
Every time I come on your show, you play clips that show the Democrats' hypocrisy. I love it, but how dare you, because they get mad when you do that. Yeah, of course we're in a crisis mode. When you have the secretary under President Obama come out and say that we're in a crisis, when you have the old chief of the Border Patrol under Obama, Mark Morgan, telling us that we have a crisis. We have a crisis. The Democrats are putting their heads in the sand. But what's funny about that is they need to fire every single one of their strategists, because they have an economic problem on their hands, because the economy is so good. That means President Trump is doing well. And they have an immigration crisis on their hands, and they refuse to acknowledge it. And that's going to hurt them as well. Their strategists, they just need to fire them all.
Well, you know, it's not only that. It's just, how do we deal with the problem? And again, I don't have a problem. All four of my grandparents, Jessica, they came through, Randall's Island in New York City. And I actually have the original documents, and I have them framed from all four of my grandparents coming from Ireland. They didn't have any money. They didn't have anything but a hope, a dream, prayer, and their able bodies to work their fingers to the bone and live pretty poor lives without any help or assistance, except maybe from a little bit of family that we hear that would do whatever they could do to help. But they did it legally. We're not saying, you know, we want to be able to vet people in the day and age of radical terrorists. We want to be able to make sure that people that come here are able to take care of themselves. That's too much to ask this country. You know, if you want to come here, that if you become a burden on our system, we can't afford it.
Right. And of course, two of my grandparents were immigrants as well. And those two areas that you cited are areas that we have made progress on in the last 2 years under the Trump administration, both vetting and making sure that immigrants are going to be self-sufficient. But this crisis at the border undermines our legal immigration system that Americans are proud of, because what we have is, thousands of people a day, literally record numbers, just showing up at the border and bringing a child with them, because they know that thanks to rogue court hearings and rogue judges forcing the government's hand, anyone who shows up with a child who claims a fear of return, and heck, they're not even claiming a fear of return anymore, apparently, in a lot of cases, they just show up with the child because they know they will be released. And they are not going to comply with the very generous due process that we give them. So, and they are also encouraged, I think, by the constant talk of amnesty bills, especially these bills that are going to benefit people who arrived as kids. All of these factors are drawing people here, and Congress needs to change these laws, yes. But I'm glad to see that the Trump administration also is addressing this problem, and by, you know, kind of ratcheting up their efforts a little bit, announced today. The key here is to prevent people from entering illegally or on a frivolous asylum claim. But also we need to start returning people to send that message that, you know, this is not going to be tolerated any longer. You're not going to succeed if you try to get here just because you bring a child. We need to start returning people who've had their due process, and that is what is going to change the calculation that prospective illegal migrants make when they're thinking about coming.
Why are we,
that and more security.
Why are we giving countries that won't help us $700 million a year, Brandon? I mean, I'm not saying the American people are the most generous people on earth. Once we start aid programs, they're never ending. You know, all becomes part of baseline budgeting. All right, $700 million this year, $710 billion next year, $750 billion the year after that. And we never stop. I mean, we're not talking about millions. These are billions of dollars. This is real money, real Americans, real taxpayers, real work. And we're not even getting help on a fundamental level to stop. The caravans organized in these countries. Okay, what's El Salvador doing to break them up or at any of the other countries? Quick answer.
Look, that's one of the things that I like about this administration. What they're doing is they're putting pressure where the pressure needs to be placed. If Mexico actually did their job on their southern border, we wouldn't have these caravans. In essence, the Mexican government is aiding and abetting these individuals to come through their country, to come up to our borders and cross our borders illegally. Commissioner McElhinney said that 90% of the people that crossed the border illegally in the month of March did it between the ports of entry. In other words, they were illegal aliens. The Mexican government knew that. They don't stop it. They're aiding and abetting. We have to shut off we have to put the requisite economic pressure on these countries to do their part to help alleviate our problems.
Well, all right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back more, and then your phone calls. Michael Caputo coming up at the bottom of this next half hour, former Republican strategist, advisor to Trump, victim of the Mueller witch hunt. And, one of the byproducts. Now, by the way, they want to bring in everybody. They're subpoenaing everybody who's had to already sit, get put under oath. They want it again and again. Who's going to pay for these people's lawyers? Does anybody ever care? Congress doesn't care. And then, by the way, God forbid you mess up. One word, once you didn't remember it quite the same way you did a year ago, you're in trouble. Called a perjury trap. Why are all the Democrats media saying it's a manufactured crisis? But even Obama's Homeland Security Secretary said, no, this is real and as bad as pretty much as it's ever gotten. It's truly a crisis. Jessica.
Well, maybe it's because, the former DHS Secretary Jay Johnson saw how this crisis interfered with their ability to get a big amnesty program through Congress. And they understand that Americans are going to lose patience and not be open to proposals like that when they see that the border is out of control. I have to say, Jay Johnson may recognize the crisis, but he didn't do a lot to try to solve it while he was running DHS. But I think he understands the political problem.
All right, last word, Brandon Judd.
Well, I can attest to that. I worked under Jay Johnson, and I can tell you right now, he did nothing to help us secure the border. He was an open borders advocate. It was all about immigration reform, and problems happened. But, Sean, I can tell you there are some very smart people at the White House right now working on solutions. They don't need Congress. What you're going to see is you're going to see Border Patrol agents start doing credible fear interviews, which will then escalate the process, get people through the process. We're going to actually start deporting people. This administration has been working tirelessly on it, and I'm not trying to be a cheerleader. I will call them to task. But they're working on it, and they will get it done.
All right, guys, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it. All right, so now Democrats, yeah, they want a million more subpoenas. They are literally trying to bring everybody back. Michael Caputo, he's been a victim in all of this himself, and he's going to give us an insider's view. What's it like to be investigated? What's it like to be dragged into this mess? And now Congress just on a witch hunt beyond witch hunts, not solving a single American problem. No solutions for anything. We'll continue.
We don't have the Mueller report. We need it. They're covering up at this point.
Jeff Sessions, who the one decent thing that he did was just recuse himself. This guy is not recused. It feels like the seeds of a cover-up.
Barr then, I think, stepped out, intercepted it, put his own spin on it, and now he's sitting on it.
They are hiding behind Donald Trump's own Roy Cohn, William Barr. Yeah, I said it. Donald Trump's own Roy Cohn, who squeezes together a couple of Simmons fragments and puts it in a letter while trying to keep from the American people the Mueller report.
Well, I do feel vindicated, but, you know, I spent Tuesday at the police station in my little village in western New York pressing charges against someone for threatening me on Facebook. You know, this has not ended yet. You know, I'm pretty sure that the rest of us, you know, Carter Page and J.D. Gordon, the rest, are all suffering the same slings and arrows I am. You know, we may have been vindicated by the Mueller investigation, but I don't know where we're going to get our reputations back. I think that I can try to help the federal government and the Republican Party and the Senate try to uncover what really happened here. I mean, I'd love to get back to work. I'm contacting my old clients who had to leave me because of this mark on my record. But now that I'm vindicated, you know, while I really want to get back to work and make money for my family, I really want to inspire some significant change in the special counsel law and other ways so people don't go through this again. I love Carter's, by the way. Carter's optimism. I'm just a little bit more angry than he is, I think. Pardon General Flynn. Pardon George Papadopoulos. And pardon Roger Stone right now, Mr. President.
That's exactly right.
Absolutely.
I couldn't agree with I could. Don't wait till after the election. Do it now. They deserve it now.
Do it now. Do it right now on Twitter.
Michael Caputo set up the meeting for Roger Stone. Both of them were interviewed in the summer and fall of 2017. And they were interviewed a long time after we first requested to interview with them, meaning that a letter was sent to both of them. It laid out the scope of what we wanted to talk to them about, which was primarily Russian contacts that they had, and they had a long time to prepare with their lawyers. They both came in with lawyers. So based on my experience of examining witnesses, I concluded that they had prepared, and they knew what we were going to ask. And so to say that there was a failure of memory by both individuals to recall this meeting, I just don't buy it. I think they just lied through their teeth to protect the fact that they were willing and eager to take a meeting with Russians who were offering dirt.
All right, as we continue, 24 now till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number you want to be a part of the program. Now, remember, on Friday, the Mueller report, we were told by the Attorney General Barr, will be delivered by mid-April. Withholding sources, methods, apparently no presidential executive privilege used, which I think is a mistake myself. And frankly, although the president seemed this weekend, said, you know what? We wasted so much time. Why bother? If we're going to be transparent, where are the FISA warrants? Where are the 302 notes for Bruce Orr and others? Where's the Gang of Eight material? Where's the signatures on the FISA warrants? You know, was the bulk of information, as the Grassley-Graham memo said, the phony Russian bought and paid for dossier with funneled money hiring a foreign agent to put it together, and the foreign agent doesn't even stand by it? Well, now we've got, 6 to 8 congressional committees, and this is all they care about. The economy, job creation, national security, borders, better health care. Do they care about any of this? Absolutely not. None of it. So now the list gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Let's bring them all back. Everyone's got to now testify again. These are people that in some cases spend 20, 30 hours. If you combine congressional hearings, you have the House, the Senate, and Mueller, over 500 interviews. Now you're talking about literally hours and hours of your life. Now, let's say maybe it happened a year and a half ago you were called in, maybe almost 2 years ago. God forbid you say something being all right, do you remember where you were April Fool's Day today last year? I don't have anyone in there have a clue? I have no clue. And do you remember who we had on as a guest that day? Nope. You know, do you remember what we talked about that day? Nope. You know, the only April Fool's that is quite memorable is when I was in Atlanta as a local radio host, and I went in that morning to a local, you know, it was kind of like a shock jock show, a really irreverent liberal morning show that played music, and I started having kids take a chastity pledge on the air, and they didn't particularly like it. Then those guys hosted my show later, and they were like being the biggest liberals on earth. And everybody's, and then nobody put it together really. And it was amazing. All these people calling, this is outrageous. Bring Hannity back. You have no business being on this station. I'm like, why? Is it, sex is something you should save for marriage. And all these, what? And we're not going to play any more of the music that you're used to. And it was sort of like new rock that they would play. at the time.
Called New Age.
New Age. No, it wasn't New Age. It was like Kurt Cobain at the time. Stuff like that. And
we call that grunge.
Grunge. But it wasn't just grunge. It was, there's a word for it, a rock, like separate.
Classic rock, New Age rock.
Not classic. It was sort of like off the edge.
Alternative rock?
Alternative rock. Thank you,
Jason.
Thank you, J.C.O.N. Man, the man comes through. And it was always, so, you know, kids that like music that was different but interesting. Anyway, everybody went nuts. So that's the only one I remember. So how's everybody going to pay for their lawyers? Because you think you're allowed to just walk into a congressional committee with Nadler and the cowardly Schiff and those people that have agendas? You know, there's a reason Adam Schiff won't ever come on this program. Let me tell you why. Well, we have our own dossier. We have every interview he's ever done. We have every word he's ever spoken. In other words, every lie he's ever told. And we have him literally colluding with the Russians on that phone call. He doesn't want to come in here for 3 hours and explain himself because he can't. Well, now every one of these people that work in the government for the government, they're not getting paid $1 million a year or half a million, maybe 100, 50, 125, 175, 1,000. But you also live in Washington, D.C., and you're also taxed in Washington, D.C. Now you got to go out and hire a lawyer. Now, if you hire any lawyer that's worth anything in Washington, it's not cheap. Those lawyers are expensive. And you got to spend hours and hours and hours. And if you have your old emails and your old texts, you better know them backwards and forwards. Because if you mess up, now you're in a perjury trap. Anyway, Michael Caputo, longtime friend and one-time advisor to President Trump, has been through all of this himself. He feels personally vindicated, along with what? Upwards of 50 Trump associates, no longer under the cloud of investigation. But I guess that's not going to last very long. Michael, how are you?
I'm great, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you know exactly what I'm talking about here. How many lawyers did you have to hire?
Well, I hired a law firm called Lippis Mathis in Buffalo. I hired one of the best government white-collar criminal attorneys in the country. Dennis Vacco was New York Attorney General and U.S. Attorney in the Western District of New York, so he knew this backwards and forwards. And it's expensive, but you know, I'm hiring him from Buffalo. Most people are hiring attorneys in Washington, and they average out at about $1,000 an hour.
Correct.
If you hire the right one. And if you go in there with your brother-in-law, the real estate attorney, or your divorce attorney, and even if you're just a witness, they're going to hand your head to you. That's how Papadopoulos got in trouble. That's how other people got in the jackpot. And if you just go in there with anybody, you're not going to make it out alive. So every hour, every minute I spent on this, I spent with a very high-priced law firm.
Well, and I mean, listen, and that's the point. I don't know what you were paying an hour, but I'm sure it had to be around $500 an hour.
Yep.
What is the average person you know making in government, and how much were they spending for these lawyers?
I don't know. I mean, I think, Roger Stone's legal team is costing him upwards of, because he's got more than one, upwards of $2,500 an hour, more than that at times, depending upon how many people he's got working on it. I know Kirsten Davis, her attorney, she paid almost $1,000 an hour for. You know, Sean, I raised a lot of people, a lot of MAGA supporters donated to my GoFundMe, and I was able to take that money, pay my lawyers, and pay other people's lawyers. So I got a pretty good understanding of how much these lawyers charge. And the one condition I gave to people to pay for their legal fees is they had to hire somebody that was high quality and would keep them out of trouble, because just any lawyer won't do. And, Sean, the one thing about this, the congressional hearings, that's political. They're trying to ruin your reputation. They're trying to ruin the president's reputation. They're not going to lock you up. But they can refer you for prosecution. That almost never happens, as you know. But the Mueller investigation, that was criminal. And even though the 50 of us were just witnesses, they could turn you from a witness into a target with a wave of a pencil. And they did that to some people. And they threatened to do that to me. So these folks at the Mueller investigation, as long as their doors were open, as long as they were reporting to work, every single one of us was in danger of being a target. It was really a relief to hear that they were closing up shop.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, I don't know if you are on the list or not on the list. Have you been subpoenaed yet?
No, I'm on the Chairman Nadler's list. They asked me for documents. I didn't have any of the documents they asked for. We replied, and we were in compliance within 24 hours. But their senior attorney there asked my attorney if he was willing to present me as a witness. And my attorney and I talked about it. I'm not going back, Sean. I've testified three times under oath, truthfully, each time. And I'm not going to testify under oath again. It's always the same questions every single time. They're just trying to trap somebody in perjury. And if they want my testimony, they can walk down the hall to the Intelligence Committee where all of us got interviewed once before. They just don't want to do that. They want us all to come in and so they can beat us up and get the headlines and the TV time on MSNBC. And I'm just not willing to play anymore. If they ask me to come, I'm not going. If they subpoena me, I'll assert my Fifth Amendment privileges, my rights under the Fifth Amendment. And I advise everybody else on that list of 81 to do the exact same thing.
And everybody has the ability and the right to do that, correct?
No doubt. And I think if you've testified under oath before, you have performed your duty for your country, tell them to go get it from where you testified and tell them to move on. That's what my attorney told me. He's a highly qualified expert in these matters. And I, you know, if you've testified before, and you're on that list of 80.
But even if you didn't testify before, you don't have to answer their questions. They can hold you in contempt all they want. But you know what? Good. Lock up. You know, what are you going to do? Lock everybody up?
I don't take it seriously. I mean, if you look at the people in charge of these investigations, it's Schiff and Nadler. I can't take Schiff seriously. I can't take that Swalwell guy seriously. They were, you know, they're just not honest brokers. They're not honest people. And we know that Nadler was planning this all along because a reporter witnessed the telephone conversation he had on the Amtrak.
All right, hang on, Michael. Let me hold you over to the break. Hold you over the break here. We'll get to more with Michael Caputo, and then we're going to get back to creepy, crazy Uncle Joe. I mean, this is blowing up in his face in a massive way. All right, as we continue, Michael Caputo is with us. Now the Democrats want to bring everybody back to testify again and again and again and again and again. And, you know, the average person, can I ask you a personal question? You don't have to answer this, Michael. I mean, I think you know that I'm coming from the right place here. Do you know how much you spent in legal fees? Do you have any idea or what you might owe even? I don't know, because, you know, I know that, for example, General Flynn, I read last week, is millions in debt, had to sell his home, which I think is one of the reasons that in his case that, you know, he pled guilty to something that the FBI didn't even think he did. And I think they threatened to go after his family. That's my thoughts. But you mind telling us or around or give
sure,
us?
I don't mind. And legal fees and costs and things associated directly to the many different investigations, it's over $200,000 for me as a witness.
Well, let me ask you this, because bring it to a personal level. You said, I think in the interview with Tucker, that there's a crater where my life used to be in the last 45 seconds we have.
Sure, absolutely. I think there's a crater where all of our lives used to be. You know, I've lost my clients. I've lost my business. I've laid off half my staff. I've closed two-thirds of the offices of my public relations agency. And we're under death threats all the time. I filed I had a guy arrested this week. I filed charges against another one today of death threats via social media. My wife has been threatened. She got a piece of a sniper rifle in the mail, and it's not stopping, Sean. It's getting worse because now that the hoax is gone, the true believers, the mentally ill, they're going to try and attack.
Yeah, let me tell you, this is beyond psychotic rage at this point. I mean, they're losing it. And, you know, especially when Rod Rosenstein and Barr said, no evidence of obstruction, which is their decision. You know,
yeah, they want us to sit down and shut up, John. That's what they want us to do. I'm not going to do it.
Well, I shut up every day, so I don't know what that means to be outspoken at all. All right, Michael, thank you. I'm glad you got through it, and I don't blame you one bit. And I think your lawyers are giving you sound advice, but I don't offer legal advice. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, 800-941-SEAN. All right, creepy, crazy Uncle Joe Biden. I mean, it's really creepy this time. Really, really, really crazy, creepy, creepy, crazy, creepy, crazy.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload.
All right, News Roundup, Information Overload Hour on the Sean Hannity Show. Write down our toll-free telephone number. We'd love to hear from you. It's 800-941-SEAN if you want to join us. What have we been saying about Uncle Joe? Creepy, crazy Uncle Joe Biden. Now, we call him crazy because he says really dumb, crazy stuff. And, you know, he's like a gaffe machine a minute. And this is only a small sampling of some of his greatest hits.
As they say in my business, I'm gonna give you the whole load today.
We got the first sort of mainstream African-American who is articulate and bright and clean and a nice-looking guy. I mean, that's a storybook.
You're telling me we got to go spend money to keep from going bankrupt? Yes, I'm
you don't know my state. My state was a slave state. My state is a border state. My state is the eighth largest black population in the country. My state is anything from a northeast liberal state.
You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. It's a fully, I'm not joking.
Hillary Clinton is as qualified or more qualified than I am to be Vice President of the United States of America. Let's get that straight. And quite frankly, it might have been a better pick than me.
So let me say it again. Thank you, Terry. And thank you, Dr. Pepper. And thank you, Chancellor, or Dr. Paper.
Romney wants to let he said in the first 100 days, he's going to let the big banks once again write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put you all back in chains.
Think about what happened out in where Gabby Gifford, my good friend, was shot, mortally wounded.
Well, I say they're going to start to see unemployment grow this spring.
You mean employment?
It's going to take employment grow, I'm sorry.
Number one job facing the middle class, and it happens to be, as Barack says, a three-letter word, jobs, J-O-B-S, jobs.
See, I went to the big guys for the money. I was ready to prostitute myself in the manner in which I talk about it.
Chuck Graham, state senator's here. Chuck, stand up, Chuck, let him see you. Oh, God love you. What am I talking about? I tell you what, you're making everybody else stand up, though, pal.
Now is the time to heed the timeless advice from Teddy Roosevelt, speak softly and carry a big stick, end of quote. I promise you, the president has a big stick. I promise you.
Now, I'm like the token black or the token woman. I was the token young person.
All right, crazy Uncle Joe, some of his greatest hits. Oh, Chuck Stan. Oh.
Wait, but we got something funny to say. So, you know, after that prank we played at the top of the hour at 3, everybody's freaking out. Because, you know, when I tease everybody, I tell them you're running for president and that you've decided to leave the media world. Now they hear Crazy Uncle Joe's running. I mean, now people are like, maybe you should run because this is pretty scary.
It's pretty scary. I think Trump's going to do fine again. I'll be honest. I mean, you watch. Let's go through what he was doing last week. He's trying to make amends over his position on Anita Hill or his positions on integration and busing back in the day. And so he's throwing out all of these trial balloons and, you know, it became a ridiculous Anita Hill apology tour. He doesn't mean any of it. What he's trying to do is filter through today's world that he's really a different person than we hear him as. Now, he's had a hell of a weekend. You know, the, you know, 76-year-old, you know, guy from the slave state that called Barack Obama. Wow, this is a storybook, man. You have an African-American. He's clean and articulate. How that didn't become a bigger issue, I don't know. You can't work at a...
Bigger issue? He became the vice president.
I know.
It's insane.
Got to spend money to stop going from going bankrupt. No, usually you'd cut money to stop going bankrupt. You stop spending a little bit. You can't work in a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. Romney's going to put you back in change. And that three-letter word, jobs, J-O-B-S. But that's nothing to compare to what he's now dealing with. Now, he has, I'm looking at the Drudge Report all day. And this is why we called him Crazy Uncle Joe and Creepy Uncle Joe. Because the touching is so uncomfortable and creepy. And this isn't just seen through the prism of the year 2019. This goes back many, many, many years. I mean, young kids, it's like, he's kissing this one boy on the lips. I'm like, who does that? I just find it creepy. And the whole thing.
Because I thought it was storybook, man.
Yeah, storybook. Anyway, so he's drawn attention for this in the past. He issued a new statement now trying to defuse this thing. And, you know, because you have Nevada, this Nevada politician, Lucy Flores is her name, appearing on fake news CNN saying that, you know, how gross it was that he kissed her and on the just she was creeped out by it. Never did I believe I acted inappropriately. If I did, so he said, I will listen respectfully, but it was never my intention. Now, she was running for lieutenant governor at the time. I certainly think that it's better than his first statement. You know, my point was never about his intentions. It should be about women on the receiving end of the behavior. Now, you do have people that are out there defending him. And I don't know. The women of The View, I guess, today were defending him. I know Whoopi Goldberg was out there defending him. I'm glad Whoopi's back, by the way. She was really sick. And anyway, let's play it.
In the old days, we would call Joe, some folks of a certain age would say he's a little overly familiar.
Yeah.
Okay. But most politicians, when they're, you know, doing this with you, and, you know, they are. And Joe is a hands-on kind of guy.
Yeah, he is.
But no one, I've never heard anyone, and she says she felt violated, and I have to take her at her word, but it would have been nice if she had turned to him and said, you know what, Jay, I don't really like this. Please don't do this. Or not, Mr. Vice President, I'm not really comfortable with that. Something, because he's standing right there.
No, it's hard to say to somebody who's sniffing
your hair.
No, it's
not. Somebody touches you inappropriately.
But it wasn't. That's the point.
She does not say it rises to the level of sexual assault or anything of that nature. She does not claim this is a Me Too moment. So I think we need to be very clear on that, because I think some people are interpreting it that way.
That's the point. Mm-hmm. That's the point, is to get people to think about it like that. It does not rise to any of those things.
No, it's a long way from smelling your hair to grabbing your hoo-ha. I mean, let's tell the truth. But she felt annoyed or uncomfortable with it, and so we have to accept that. But I don't think it rises to the point what we've been listening to about Harvey Weinstein and the rest of these people. It just doesn't look like that. And, you know, we all know Joe Biden. He's been here. I remember when I met him in Florida before he was vice president, and he was so friendly. He's the close talker.
Yes.
He comes right up in your face, and you're thinking, I hope my breath is good, you know? and more important, I hope his is.
Yeah.
And, you know, so he talks close. He touches you.
Yeah.
That's what he's like. And I feel it would be really unfortunate if we got rid of everybody who was just an affectionate kind of person. We, you know, those are nice people, too.
So I don't know that we will see any more smelling of hair and kisses on the forehead.
That pisses me off. Yeah. I'm telling you. I don't want Joe to stop doing that.
I don't either.
I don't want Joe to stop doing that. Okay, but anyway, Elizabeth Warren, some others that are running for president, the governor of Colorado said it's pretty disconcerting. I think it's very disconcerting, and I think the women have to be heard, and we should start by believing them. Here we are again. Well, you know, that always comes up to another question. You believe only who you want to believe. Now Democrats will believe because they want to defeat Joe Biden. But everybody's quiet. We'll get to this in a second. When it came to the alleged rape and sexual assault of whatever happened with the Virginia lieutenant governor, I'll get to that in a second. Or Elizabeth Warren being critical this weekend. And Julian Castro said they believe Flores and Flores's story. Then you look at these pictures and it's like really weird in a lot of ways. And you know, you do meet these people in life that just are in your grill and in your face, and like you back up and they get in closer. There are people like this, and then the touchy-feely people, that's what I call them. And it's just not how I roll. I just, ugh, man. Now, here's the thing, and I said this in a roundabout way last week, that Democrats care about dreamers, they care about border walls, they care about DACA, they care about all these issues of furloughed employees, except when Donald Trump is the one that's going to work the deal with them. Then they just flip and their hatred of Trump triumphs over any progress for the country. They say, look at their actions during the Kavanaugh hearings. I so believe we hadn't heard from anybody at the time. We don't know if this is when he was back in high school. You know, one allegation going as far to say almost on an every weekend basis, the boys in the high school would spike the punch and the girls would pass out and they'd line up in the halls and the boys would take turns gang raping these teenage girls, but happened every other weekend or thereabout. But nobody ever told their parents, the police, a teacher, a counselor. Nobody ever said a word. Never made sense. Then the story starts evolving. Well, I didn't actually see him spike the punch, but I saw him near the punch bowl. You know, I didn't see him give the cup, but I saw a red Solo cup in his hand. And, well, he wasn't standing in line, but he was in the hall. And, like, all of a sudden, but I believe. Now we have the case. You know, the party that claims to be the great champion of women and Democratic strategist spending the weekend dealing with all these photos and videos of creepy, crazy Uncle Joe groping and nuzzling and kind of stunning a lot of victims. I don't get the kissing on the lips thing either. I've had that happen to me, and like people try and kiss me on the lip. I'm like, okay, let me, it's like a game. Like, what are you doing? Anyway, so Vanessa Tyson, who's one of the two women who have made serious and seemingly credible allegations, and as much as they told people at the time, and those people have corroborated that story, and she said that the lieutenant governor, but of course he's a Democrat in Virginia, that's why you haven't heard much about this, he suggested he needed to go to pick up paperwork from a room at a different hotel. He crosses the room and, you know, kind of goes through the luggage, finds some paperwork, which was what I assume we were there for. And then he crosses back around the bed, comes over to me, and I'm at the door, and he starts kissing me. You know, and he kind of, you know, gently takes my hands, guides me towards the bed, and we're still kissing, right? And it's completely consensual, she said. And we're kissing, so our heads are level. And then it was like, my neck didn't work. What do you mean? He's using his hand on the back of my neck, and I didn't know what was happening, but she wanted it to end at that particular point. And why isn't that? Why don't I hear any of the I believers believe that? And why only a couple of senators, but you know, are saying it about Biden, but we should believe, but only the ones that want to beat him in the primary? So it's not really about Me Too sexual harassment. It's about politics. It's, well, if you can bludgeon Trump and talk about Stormy, or you can talk about Justice Kavanaugh and smear and slander him, well, then it's perfectly fine. You know, experts say that shoulder massages like Biden's do constitute sexual harassment. I read this piece. It was pretty interesting, actually. Marie Claire magazine. Now, it was sent to me. I'm not a regular reader of Marie Claire magazine. Have you ever read it? I was, I know of. But it's common behavior used by serial sexual harassers. And they quote this woman, Laureen Olson, PhD, UNC Greensboro. The shoulder rub itself culturally is perceived as benign. It's seen as a legitimate way to reduce stress, but a harasser may see the shoulder rub as a way of invading the person's space. We all know people that invade your space, get in your grill, and are like touchy-feely and ugh.
I think this is a good place to go to commercial.
And,
well, it's just, you know, just I need to process you reading Marie Claire. So let's take a break and we'll come back on the other side.
All right, as we continue, Sean Hannity Show. It was funny as I'm watching the hate Trump media mob coming to grips with the fact that, you know, they're going to have to cover now for crazy, creepy Uncle Joe and the groping allegations. You know, when Lucy Flores stepped forward to complain and others have complained and all these pictures come up and, you know, photos of Biden groping the wives, daughters of Obama cabinet officials, top ranking Democrats. This has been out there for years. But the media mob, of course, and their brigade, hoping they can con America into thinking that Biden's conduct is, you know, just a little idiosyncrasy. It's not, what if it was Donald Trump? It's that simple. You know, that's just old Joe getting a little frisky again, I guess. That's how we're going to describe this. You know, don't worry that some of the women in the photos look stunned. What was the one picture of him kissing the woman on the lips? I was like, ugh. It just, ugh. Just creep me out. All right, your call's coming up next. 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. We'll get to your call straight ahead. And Hannity tonight, we got an awesome Hannity. 9 Eastern, Fox News. Got a lot of news to get to. All right, glad you're with us. 25 till the top of the hour. 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. Let's see. We'll start with Doug in Midland, Texas, wants to talk about creepy, crazy Joe Biden. What's up, Doug? How are you? Glad you called. Happy Monday.
Hey, happy Monday to you from sunny West Texas, John.
Happy sunny West Texas. Freezing up in New York today for some reason. I don't know why. Back to that weather.
Oh, man. Suck for you, I guess. We're like at 80 degrees.
So what's going on? What's on your mind today?
You know, I was just listening to all this about Biden, and Friday we're talking about you guys were talking about the money issue with him and moving stuff around to hide it and all that stuff. But it just struck me at that moment, and I was wondering, are you ever really surprised about anything that slimy, creepy Uncle Joe or any of his lefty loonies do?
No, I'm not surprised at all. I mean, there's a mass psychosis that has evolved here. I mean, and we see it in a multitude of ways. I mean, the Donald Trump has sent them all over the edge on the one hand. I mean, to the point where the thought of ever coming up with an idea or a solution to make the country better and safer and more secure and, you know, advance the ball is just missing. Then you add to that they're trying to out socialist each other, and the new Green Deal is the basis of this. And then Beto O'Rourke this weekend, you know, we're going to take down walls, and he's trying to outdo Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez. And I'm like, you know, they've collectively lost their mind. Now, more moderate Democrats have been hoping for crazy, creepy Uncle Joe, but I don't think he's up for it. And I think with the information, just a little vetting that we're doing now, I promise you he's having second thoughts. And at some point, the media is going to look at this, and I think they prefer the more radical. They prefer the new Green Deal. They've bought into hook, line, and sinker that we are destroying the earth, and what was once the new ice age coming, and then global warming, we're going to melt to death. And we're going to the planet's going to literally turn into a fire. But that didn't work out. And then so now it's a general generic climate change, which is all rooted in a political agenda. That, of course, being socialism, predicated on the idea that man is ruining the planet for profit and the idea that everything is going to be taken care of. These are not new ideas. These ideas have been tried over and over again. And they have failed over and over again. And, you know, it's, for example, look at the wealth tax idea. You know, the one thing that wasn't in the new Green Deal is child care. But we had, you know, pre-K through college education. We had guaranteed job, wage, vacations, guaranteed healthy government food, guaranteed health care. But you can't get your own health care. You know, Democrats love the wealth tax. But it's fascinating when you look around the world. The world's tried a wealth tax. 15 European countries that tried a wealth tax in recent years. Only 4 still employ it. And the reason is the wealthy people left. And it's just like Governor Cuomo in New York. We tax the rich, and then you tax the rich, and then the rich, God forbid, they start leaving, and they're leaving. Now he has a $2.3 billion, this is one state, shortfall. And they're wondering, well, how could that have possibly happened? And Elizabeth, you know, then you've got their proposal, 70% personal marginal tax rate, 90% corporate tax rate. What corporation is ever going to risk the money, the investment into a factory or a manufacturing center? Which one is ever going to do that if they know they're going to be taxed at 90%? None of them. They're all going to say, let's build this in Mexico. Let's build this in this island. Let's go over here. They're not stupid people, and they're not going to allow governments to steal their wealth. They're going to move on. And more importantly, what did we learn from Kennedy, Reagan, now Trump? You cut taxes, you get rid of the bureaucracy. Wow, revenues to the government are going way up. And jobs, well, we're headed on 6 million new jobs created. It just works. So anyway. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Chuck is in Columbus. Chuck, hi. How are you? Glad you called, sir.
Sean Hannity, you are so appreciated by many of us out here in the American land of
thank you. I can't do this without you guys. You know that, right? I mean,
And we would be blind without you, because what we hear on the news is just garbage. And we, blue-collar Americans, just love you, and we thank you. My question is this. February 15th, Donald Trump announced a national emergency. 16 states then banded together and filed suit, and as he predicted, in the Ninth Circuit. And he predicted he would lose there, losing the appeals courts, and then probably win in the Supreme Court. Sir, my question to you is, I've not seen or heard anything in regards to that lawsuit. Does that mean they have declined to go against him because they know they don't have a chance, thus we win? Or what is the answer to that question?
You know, I haven't heard the latest. All I know is Congress couldn't override the president's veto, and past presidents have reallocated unused funds in the past. And their case is both legislatively weak, and I cited 10 U.S. 284, if my memory serves me correctly, which allows the president the discretion to cordon off with barriers, fences, lights, drug corridors from other countries. So it's written in law, which backs up the president. Constitutionally, I would argue that the president as commander-in-chief not only has a right, he has a duty, a sworn duty, to protect the American citizens. And, you know, Jay Johnson's comments were truthful and honest. The Democratic and media mob talking point that this is a manufactured crisis has just been a lie. And you see what happened now at the border. The people that are believing Trump, interestingly enough, Chuck, are the people in these countries that are coming here illegally. They see the windows closing.
I agree. I'm just wondering why we've not heard either a decline to accept it as far as their case, and they're wanting to sue and block the president. I've not heard any reaction, positive or negative, from the Ninth Circuit, and I'm wondering why we've not, as Americans, heard an answer from the Ninth Circuit in regards to it.
I don't know the answer, but they always go judge shopping. As of now, there has not been any order to deny the president the ability to do it. I know the Defense Department identified some $9 trillion in funds, which is great because that's a lot more than what the president was going to get under any deal, even proposed with the Democrats. They've been awfully quiet on the issue. I think, you know, that speaks for itself because they know past presidents have done it. They know what the law states. We've pointed it all out to them. Because it's an emergency order, it would be expedited to the U.S. Supreme Court. Thanks, Chuck. Appreciate it. Herman is in New Mexico. Herman, hi. How are you? Glad you called, sir.
It's an honor to talk to you, Sean. I never talked to a talk show before, and I'm honored to talk to you. I don't know you, but I feel like I know you're my friend.
Well, wow. How did you find out about me?
Well, I've listened to you for a long, long time, but right here where I live now, I can't get you. I can't get you on the radio because I don't.
Well, you can listen. You know, you can go to Hannity.com. And listen there.
Well, I can do that, but I'm not very good at them machines, you know. But anyway, Sean, the reason I called is when Trump talks about all these drugs coming into our country, there's a road right in front of my house right here, and they call it the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
The pipeline for the drugs. Trump is 100% right when he talks about that. These crooks coming in and all these drugs coming in and everything.
Well, we already know. Listen, we now have over 300 deaths a week, heroin overdoses, opioid overdoses in the country. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, look, everybody, you know something, Herman? Everybody listening to me and you right now, everybody listening to us.
Right.
They know somebody. Who's dealing with addiction. Maybe it's in their immediate family. Maybe it's a distant relative. Maybe it's somebody at work. Maybe it's a family friend. Maybe it's a neighbor. Everybody knows it. It is, in some places, it is an epidemic beyond anyone's imagination.
Yes, because I live close to some little towns here, and every one of them is infested with drugs.
Yeah, I agree.
But anyway, Sean, it was an honor to talk to you. I just wanted to say that, and I'm a Trump supporter.
Well, thank you, sir. And I hope you'll listen. Hannity.com on the internet or on your phone. There's a million places you can find us. And, you know, why don't we see if we can help him, Kylie, see if we can get him the radio station that's nearest him that he could tune into. We have that. We don't put that up on Hannity.com.
We actually do have a station locator. We can also be found on Sirius XM, and you can also listen right on Hannity.com.
How many affiliates do we have now? I forget.
We have 623 affiliates. We're also in the top 10 podcasts on iTunes, and we can be heard nightly and daily across the nation, as well as internationally.
Why don't I pay attention to this stuff?
You're a problem, basically.
No, because I focus on my show. That's what I want to focus on.
Listen, you just made a personal connection with a man in New Mexico who doesn't even know how to operate a computer and can barely find you on a radio. So clearly you're doing something right.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Are you drinking the moonshine
heavily,
that's still hanging out
heavily.
There? I don't know. All right, 800-941-SEAN, our number. All right, Kat is in Palm Bay, Florida. Kat, how are you? Glad you called. Is that your name, Kat, really? Or is it Kathy?
Yes. Well, it's short for Catherine, but Sean, we love you, too. Hats off to you. You're the best, and thanks for being truthful with the American people. This is a red flag for me, okay? This has been in my mind for a long time. I want to know about the potential bias with the multiple FISA court judges who not only supported but renewed these requests to spy on President Trump, especially given the outlandish nature of that dirty dossier. Not one questioned it. And of course, we know about the text in July 2016 when between Strzok and Page, who colluded to conspire to meet up with Rudolph Contreras at the cocktail party, the same judge who accepted the guilty plea from General Flynn and then recused himself. Where is Justice Roberts on all this? Why is nobody considering that these judges might be also biased?
I think you raise a really good point. That's a possibility. But my gut, Kat, tells me the following. My gut tells me that these FISA judges, and maybe, look, I have not had a lot of experience with judges, and I don't really want a lot of experience with judges, to be very blunt, but I know this about the judges that I've met in my life. It better be yes, Your Honor, no, Your Honor, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. And you better show up on time, you better not be late, and you better not be a pain in their neck. And, look at Judge Judy. I've actually met Judge Judy once in a restaurant. She's very cool, very fun. I was surprised. She watches the TV show. And I said, I watch you. I said, you're tough as nails. And she goes, that's right. I said, okay. But answer my question. You're not answering. Answer my question. And I'm like, woof. By the way, her show in an era and a time where everything is fractured in terms of audience fractures and so many choices that people have and on-demand Amazon and Netflix and Hulu and I can't even know YouTube and just her show pulls in old-style like Oprah ratings every day. That show does so well, and it's a tribute to her. I really liked her when I met her. Did I tell you I met her down in Florida one day? And I just started talking to her. And then I actually said, would you mind meeting some friends of mine and family? I said, would you mind coming over for a minute? She goes, come on, I'd love to. Gets up, comes right over. Couldn't be nice. Everyone was stunned looking at her. And she was very nice. I'm glad. You know what? We celebrate people's success. Success is not a zero-sum game. Your success is not based on others' failures. There are some people in our business that they don't champion the good work or success of others. As somebody that maybe we can name 25 people that have been with us 2 years following this deep state abuse of power and corruption, I'm like thankful to everybody that's involved in this because every voice is needed. The great one, that would be Rush, that would be Joe Pags, Lars Larson, all these, Mark Simone in New York, all these people that get it and express their opinions and are informing people while the rest of the media goes in a totally ridiculous, breathless, hysterical, frankly, irresponsible direction. It's unbelievable. 800-941-SEAN is our number. All right, by the way, Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. We'll load it up tonight. Full, complete coverage. Now another woman speaks out about Biden. Also, we'll be getting to the issue, the battle over the borders. It's getting worse than ever. Even Obama's Department of Homeland Security Secretary agrees. Now, we've got Alan Dershowitz, Mark Meadows, Victor Davis Hanson tonight, Tammy Bruce, Sean Spicer, Carl Rove. 9 Eastern, Hannity, Fox News, and we're still holding them accountable. We'll see you tonight at 9, back here tomorrow.